So let me ask you once more. Do you notice, have you ever paid attention to how many words you say on a typical day? Have you ever counted? Some of us may say like, well, nowadays I don't talk much because I used to typing. I type while I chat. I type a lot. So no matter what your default is, whether you're talking or the typing type, we use words to express ourselves every day. So in a book called Why Men Don't Listen and Women Can't Read Much, it's actually mentioned that a woman in average can easily speak up to 6,000 to 8,000 phrases every day. And they can communicate through 8,000 to 10,000 facial expressions, again, every day. Can you imagine that? 8,000 to 10,000 physical and facial expressions. On an average day, women can also have 20,000 times of interactions with others, which is way, way much more than guys do. So obviously, we use words a lot more than we want to admit. In academic fields, we have tons of this research telling us about this fact. We talk a lot. We use our word a lot. But while we talk a lot, do you pay attention to how you actually talk? Do you pay attention to the quality of your words? So we are in this generation, we treasure authenticities. And we assume that being authentic means we can say whatever we like coming to our mind. Being authentic means I can comment on others' posts on social media in whatever way I like. Being authentic means I can talk or comment even on others face-to-face in person. And we do comment on a lot of things, like sometimes we comment on how others look, whether they look fat, whether they look funny, whether how they look stupid, and we comment on others' action too, like how others raise their kids, how they talk to others. And we only base on this little one single video or one single photos, and we talk a lot. And yes, sometimes the comment we give can sound even a little bit inappropriate. But we assume that it's okay, it's acceptable, just because I am saying what's on my mind. But the truth is, it can turn out to be very problematic. There are way too many examples on the internet nowadays. And haven't you heard about a news about a Catholic boys harassing a Native American recently? Many found that the boy's racist just based on a very short video. And people started harassing him, harassing his family. They tried to find out who he is, where he lived. And then they started accusing him and calling him bad names until it found out that he wasn't actually trying to harass that guy. Until it found out that he was actually trying to make the situation better, to try to resolve a conflict. Problematic. And I came across a post on the internet the other days reminding people the art of talking. It quoted William Penn, who was an influential leader in America. He said, "If you think twice before you speaking once, you will speak twice the better of it." Speaking is an art that needs us to learn to be mindful and learn how to do it well. Speaking is not a mindless act to say whatever comes to our mind. It's because words have powers. I read a quote again saying that, "So handle them carefully, for words have more power than atomic bomb." Wait, imagine this. Atomic bomb. Atomic bomb is so powerful that it can destroy a town, it can destroy a village. Sometimes if you got enough, it can damage a whole country. It can kill many people in just a few seconds. But words are stronger than this deadly weapon. Imagine. And similarly, a psychologist, Sigmund Freud, some of you may have heard about this name, once said, "Words have a very magical power, you know. They can either bring the greatest happiness or the deepest despair." Words have the power to build up and to tear down. Words have the power to kill and to save. And when it comes to the power of word, the Bible upholds a cautious and mindful attitude. For example, in James, he said our words, he took our words very seriously. In James 3, 7 to 8, he said, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptiles and sea creatures can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." Saying our tongue is a restless evil and full of deadly poison may sound very scary. But what James is trying to tell us is to remind us not to underestimate the power of our words. Our tongue are powerful tools that is most difficult to tame in all God's creations. James said it can actually bring deadly consequence, just as deadly poison, if it is untamed. Imagine how powerful and dangerous our word can be. James said it in a few verses earlier, he said, "For we all stumbled in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he said, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his own body." Can you imagine that? Have you think about that? Our tongues is so tough to tame that only one man that haven't been stumbled on his words, he can be counted as perfect. There's no mistake on him. Word has this power to reveal who we are. If our word can make you a perfect person, it means also that your word can reveal who you are. Word has the power to reveal our heart. Our word reveals what we are thinking. Our word reveals our preference, our attitudes. Our word reveals our personality and temperament. So if you find it hard to believe, in the weeks coming, you can try this little small exercise. We all got a phone, right? And in this phone, we have this recorder. So try to record what you say in one day, just one day, and then listen to what you have said throughout the day afterward. I bet you will be surprised and amazed what you have found, how your words actually reveal what you think, how you feel, and reveal your heart. The possibility are, I guess, if you are a worrisome people, you may find yourself spending a lot of time talking about your worries and your burdens. You'll be surprised how negative and pessimistic you sound. If you tend to be one that is hard to be gracious and forgiving to others, you will be surprised to listen to how bitter and angry you may sound. If you are discontent, you will be surprised to find yourself grumbling and complaining throughout the day. Our words revealed our heart and mind. It's so impactful that people can tell what kind of person you are through your word. There's once in Hong Kong a very famous businessman. His name is Lee Ka Sing. I'm not sure if you know him or not. But anyway, he told his staff, that means a lot of people, he said, "It's better to keep silence if you know you are being stupid, and that rather than to talk and prove yourself stupid." So actually what he says is pretty similar to the Bible in the Proverbs says, "Even a fool who keeps silence is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." What he's saying is how you talk, what you talk, revealed your inner being, what's inside you. If what you said reveal who you are, then the next question will be, what kind of life are you revealing to others? If you are a Christian, what kind of life are you supposed to reveal through your words? We know God promised us abundant life. We know God loves us and accepts us. We know God filled us with all these different blessings, But do we reveal the same quality of life through how we talk, through our words? If what you say reveal who you are, then today, how are you revealing yourself? What do you tell the world what you are following? How do you show to others what is really matter for you? What has this power, this magical power to control our life? Words don't only reveal who we are. It also shapes the direction and the outlook of our life. So James described how our words affect our life. He said, if one can tame one tongue, that person is able to control his whole body. It's just like if we put bit into the mouth of horses so that they obey us. We guide their whole body as well, right? So look at the sheep. Though they are so large and they are driven by strong winds, they are guided only by this very small rudders wherever the will of the pilot directs. It's an interesting image. Both bit and rudders are pretty small and they look insignificant as well. But both are powerful enough to change the direction of a huge and powerful horse and a huge ship. Our tongue is so small and it is not easily visible. It's shyly hidden in our cheek. But it's so powerful enough to change the direction of life just as the bit for horse and the rudder for ship. Have you ever observed that? I actually spent some time and noticed and observed this. Actually, very often, how a person describes a situation determines how he looks at the whole situation and deal with this situation. And somehow it impacts the outcome. Imagine there are two persons, two different, very different persons. I call one Lucy and I call the other Albert, okay? And they both just got laid off from their jobs. Lucy got this notice. She was so unhappy, she kept complaining and grumbling. She kept complaining how unfair it was. Even after the initial shock, he kept complaining how the company had disappointed her every time he chatted with her friends. After a few unsuccessful job interviews, she got so unmotivated because she was so bitter. She complained how unfair the world is. It accumulated to a level that she thought she got no more hope. There was no hope of success, and she became very depressed. On the other hand, we have Albert here. He also took the notice, this note telling him that he got laid off. But he was a little bit different. He was thankful about the company's generous compensation. He started to imagine how his life can be. He shared his excitement wherever he got new opportunities. He was motivated to venture into a new area. Imagined how will his life become. One psychologist found that the different way different people telling their story actually impact the outcome of their life and the shape the outlook of their life. And I'm not making this up. I have an example here. I guess many people nowadays got an instant pot. So you know what's the instant pot? The miracle stuff. You just press the button and then it will cook all the stuff for you in like 30 minutes. Probably many people have one at home. No matter you're using it or not, or it's just like resting there. Do you know that it's actually innovated by an engineer who got laid off from his job? He was a Chinese. He lost his job one day from his engineer job. And then he got sent home. He became a husband at home, a father at home. But then he didn't give up. He's still trying to solve his daily life problem. And one of his problems was how to prepare a meal in the shortest time, the safest way, the most energy efficient way. So he tried to re-innovate one thing. Like long ago, people forgot about this. It's called pressure cookers. So he took it out and renovated the whole thing and became the now famous Instant Pot. He becomes a huge success when he had with his new innovations that changed many of our lives. And the starting point is he shared his story differently. How we narrate our situations, how we tell our story actually affect how we see the whole circumstances. With a very different way to see the circumstances, it affects the way we deal with the situation, deal with our problem. And word has this power. It has this power to shape our realities. The power of word doesn't come from nothing. Do you remember that? We just sang this in the praise. In the beginning, God only used his words to create the world. When he said it's done, it's done. When he said it's be, it's be. Jesus used his word to reveal himself, to reveal who he is as well. Even the Holy Spirit nowadays uses the word of God to guide us and protect us. God has demonstrated power of word and give us these powerful tools as well. And how can we underrate the power of our words? Words have the power to shape the realities. And word is powerful enough not just to say shape your life, it's powerful enough to hurt as well. And that's a raising concern nowadays about internet bullying, right? And we can see that many of these incidents are only done by words. We have seen the simple comments taking away a life. The so-called offended word becomes curse for others. Those demeaning words becomes bondage for another person. Wherever this person remember those comments, those words, the person re-experience all his emotion all over again. The embarrassment, the anger, how upset he is, the intimidation all came back to life. Some time ago, I knew a very hardworking girl. She was very eager to learn as a kid. She loved trying new things. She wanted to experiment with all these interesting things. And he tried her best no matter what he was doing. And one year, she got first class honor in her final exams. However, on that day, a friend innocently came to her and said, "Do you know what the other girls in the class are talking about? They said, you don't deserve this honor." Wow. The girls were shocked. He was also very angry and upset, thinking like, what have I done wrong? You didn't deserve the honor, became the word imprinted in her soul, in her mind, and in her heart. After that day, wherever she thought she was doing good, the word, "you don't deserve the honor," rang in her mind, loud and strong. Wherever she wanted to try something new, "you don't deserve this." Wherever he saw something good, "you don't deserve this." Wherever she's experienced something good, "you don't deserve this." It make her constantly living in this deep fear that she will lose what she treasures because she doesn't deserve this. She felt inferior no matter how good she was doing because she doesn't deserve this. Wherever she remember, "you don't deserve this," she become reluctant to try to achieve. She thinks she's not good enough. The word became a bondage in her life, in her soul, and the words shaped her life for a very long time. Maybe the classmate at that time didn't expect a strong impact. Maybe they were too young to understand the weight of the words. However, the word can be so powerful that it brought consequence that's hard to neglect. Word can be so powerful that it deter one's destiny. Even with God's grace, for that girl, it took a long, long time for her to be healed, for the damage to be undone. I know the struggle, the suffering, and the bondage because the girl standing right here. That's me. Words are so powerful that it can hurt. It hurts. Words are so powerful, we have to be mindful with our word, because so it can damage a person's life. Just as James said in James 3, 5 to 6, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it's boast of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is the fire. A world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, stinging the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. If our heart is a forest, one's minus words can burn our forest to ash. And here is a choice for us to make today. If we know our words are so powerful, it reveals our hearts, it shapes our life, it even burns other lives, with such a powerful tool given by God, how are we going to use it? Are we using it to build others, or are we using it to tear down others? That's what James means in James 3, 10 to 12. For the same mouth came blessings and cursing. My brothers, this thing ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth the same opening both fresh and salt waters? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olive, or a grapevine produce fig? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh waters. The issue here is not whether it's fresh water or salty water. The issue at hand here is whether the same mouth can give blessing and cursing at the same time. Just as a spring can't both give fresh and salty water, a fig tree can't give olive, a grapevine can't give fig. How can a mouth that we use to bless our Lord become a mouth that curses and tears down others? How can a mouth that gives thanks to God become a mouth that actually complains and grumbles? The Bible is telling us that it doesn't make sense. The Bible is telling us that it's not the original design of God. In God's original design, our words are powerful because it should be used to build up others. It should be used to tell the truth. It should be used to bring peace to relationship. It should be used to comfort, encourage, and teach. It should be used to express our faith and give thanks. So it's not just God's design when you use your... It's just not God's design when you use your word to curse, to hurt, and to judge others. Just as you are asking a fig tree to produce olive, just as you are asking a spring to give fresh water when it can only give salt water, it is impossible. Of course, as we said earlier, some may say that, well, we are just being authentic. We are just saying what comes to my mind. But however, I will doubt if this truly being authentic when one say hurtful word that damage others, bring conflict, judge others, blaming and discourage others. True authenticity is built on the foundation of God's characters. True authenticity is built on God's original design in us. True authenticity is to be aligned with God's desire for us. One is just being irresponsible and mindless if one let whatever's come up in mind to come out unfiltered. We as a mature person have the responsibility to discern what should be said and what should not. If you agree with me today about what's said, here are three tips to bring our mouth, our tongue, our word back to God's original design and to use our word to build up others. The first is be mindful. Be mindful with your word. Sometimes we may say, we may use just saying as a phrase to cover up our mindlessness. There are far too many times I heard people saying that, I'm just saying, I doesn't mean it, to say something mean and inappropriate. They may explain that, I'm just saying what comes across my mind and I can't control how someone understands this or interpret what I meant, what I said. But actually, it is our responsibility to be mindful with our word. It's our responsibility to consider how others will understand our word, how others may feel, and what is the possible consequence. If you're uncertain about what you're going to say, why not give yourself some time just to calm down and think through? If it is you're uncertain about what you're going to say and it is very important, then why not take your time to sit down, find a paper, find a pen, try to write down what you're going to say and read it to yourself to see if this is appropriate. It's because words has no return. What's said is said. You can never undo it. The second thing is repent and ask for forgiveness. What's this all about? I encourage you to take some time in this week to reflect and repent if you have said some hurtful words to others and ask for forgiveness. Maybe you didn't mean that. Maybe you didn't expect a negative impact on others because you didn't know. It's okay. But now you know hurtful words can burn others' life to ashes. You know that in the Bible it said a small fire can burn down the whole forest and your words is strong enough to burn others' forest. So it's time for us to repent if you have hurt others through your word, with your word in the past. It's time to ask for forgiveness if you have been hurting others, burning others' forest to ashes. Yes, this can be scary, but it is essential and this is beneficial for others. For apologies, it's a very powerful way to reset a relationship. It happened to me last week. I remember one morning when I woke up, we have this little girl, my daughter's, with a swollen eyes. So that was a Monday. I need to go to work. I got a lot to do. I really want to just drop her off at the daycare and then rush back to the office and start working. However, I also know that as a mother, I need to bring her to the doctor to check it out to see if she's really okay. So imagine I was in a hurry. But then my daughter, she's so young, she's four, and she didn't understand. So she was playing with her stealthy in the car seat, which make buckling her really, really tough. And I was so mad. I couldn't stop my anger, and I started yelling at her. And then I saw her startled. She said she was scared. And immediately I realized that actually I said things wrongly. I felt like a whole guilt in my heart. But then I apologized to her. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. The moment when I say, I am sorry, my daughter was calmed again. And then she cheerfully said, it's okay, that's all right. That's the magic of saying sorry, to repent and ask for forgiveness. At that moment, you actually reset your relationship and bring it back to the good beginning. It means relationship, it heals the wound. So the last one is, discern your words. Learn the art of speaking and discern your word. Let's relearn how to talk so that we are going along with God's original plans. Let's relearn to discern our words so that we are saying the word rightly and can build up others. And we can stop the inappropriate word in our mind. And in this coming 3 weeks, we are actually going to learn it all together in this series, how to discern our word in this Just Saying sermon series. But remember, words have power to build up and tear down. Words have power to kill and to save. So be mindful what's coming out of your mouth. It can be very powerful when you used it rightly. But it can be very dangerous as well when you abused it. Imagine what will happen. Just take some time, imagine. If we start today, we start to use the mouth to that we praise the Lord, to greet and to bless each other, Sunday after Sunday. If we start using the mouth that gives thanks to God to comfort and encourage each other, Sunday after Sunday, what will happen to this community? How will it be built up? What happens if we reset our mouth to God's original design? What happens if we use our mouth to build up, to give thanks, and to encourage others? What will we see in this community after maybe 3 months, 4 months, or years? Do you want to try it together? Should we try this together? Use our mouth as God's original desire, original designed. How about let us try this together? May God help us. Let us stand and pray. Lord, may you help us. Maybe some of us have spoken words that hurt others in the past. Maybe we didn't know, we underestimated the importance of our words, the impact of our words. But Lord, help us. Help us to relearn the way how we talk, how we use our words. Help us to see your original design, your desire in your heart. Lord, may your Spirit help us and speak to us loudly from today and onward, and teach us how to use our word to build up others, comfort others, encourage others. And Lord, if we have used our word to hurt others, may you also give us the courage to ask for forgiveness, to repent, saying sorry. Lord, this may be scary, and this is scary. So, Lord, we need your help. We need your help. We need your courage. So the broken relationship can be mended. The broken relationship can be restored. Lord, may we stop from burning others with our word and start, really start to build up others with the mouth that praise you, that sing to you, that worship you. May your help come to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.